ready? Here we go.
The Hit Breakfast Show.
All right.
Cliffo and Gabby's podcast is the complete package. Brand new Mazda BT50. It's the only ute that's a complete package.
Hello, Potters. Happy Monday. Welcome to a new week. I took the kids to the markets yesterday, the Sunday markets.
Good one.
Gabs, and there was a petting zoo there.
Yes.
I think it's the first time my son, who's nearly two, has been inside a petting zoo.
That would have been so fun for him.
He loved it. His sister's a bit weird around animals, but I purchased the little, I don't know what you call it, like the feed thing? Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Give you a cup of
bag
feed.
Bag of food, yeah.
And my daughter was, number one, she's real scared, so she's too scared to hold it out. And then number two, my son, he's too young to kind of get it. So he starts picking up the feed and throwing it at the ducks and the geese.
It's better than him trying to eat it himself, because that's where I thought this was going.
With my son too, he'll eat anything. So you are right.
Yum.
Maybe I shouldn't discourage the throwing of the feed.
It's the best.
It's the best. As long as you don't eat it, that's fine.
For women today, for International Women's Day, which is so beautiful. I love International Women's Day. I think it's all about championing women on this very day, just to make sure that we've got equality at the forefront of our minds, so that that's what we're working towards, is equality of the sexes in every facet of life. And for this, I thought it'd be a really cute idea to get my mum and myself to answer the same questions, to see what kind of differences there are for women in different generations and what we've kind of experienced through our lifetimes.
Oh, what a fantastic idea.
So my mum, I don't know, she'll probably be mad at me for telling her age, but she's in her late 60s, mid to late 60s, and I'm 32. So
early
there's
mid to late 60s,
early
right?
Mid to late 60s.
Isn't that right, Maureen? Early mid to late 60s.
So we've had very different experiences when it comes to growing up as a woman. And, yeah, you'll get an understanding of that with this.
So this is questions that the same question.
Yep.
But it's you answering
by
them.
Different generations.
And how many? Just quickly, there'd be what, 30 something years between you and your mum.
Yeah, mum had me when she was 34. So it's 34 years difference. So she was older than I am now when she had me.
So let's see what a difference kind of 30-ish odd years makes.
Yeah.
If the same questions asked two different women, this is going to be interesting.
What expectations were on women when you were growing up?
When women got married, very few continued in the workforce. They were expected to become housewives and full-time mums. I can remember my mum, as the children got older, she would like a part-time job. My dad, he gave permission as long as she didn't neglect the housework.
I still felt a lot of societal pressure to be the one to settle down and have kids after school. You know, I could have a career. That was all well and good. But once kids came along, or once marriage came along, you know, it's the woman's duty to follow the man. And I wanted a man to follow me and support my career. And I had to move around a lot with my job. And to voice that to some people, they really questioned my life goals, because how dare I expect a man to support my career? It's meant to be the other way around. So, yeah, there was definitely still that imbalance.
What are the biggest changes you've seen for women over your lifetime?
For my girls, they have been able to travel without having to have companions to travel. They've had the independence of travel. They're not expected to marry and start a family. Mostly, they have the same opportunity as men. And they're encouraged to study and have careers.
For me, in my lifetime so far, it would have to be the Me Too movement that has been the biggest change to women in society. The conversation was, you know, being had about workplace inequality, the imbalance and the abuse of power within that workplace. It was being talked about openly and being called out. It's only the start of the conversation. It's only the start of fixing the problem, but at least it has been addressed. And I think real change is coming from that, which is amazing.
Should women keep fighting for equality?
Most definitely. The inequality is still in the workforce. It's still in relationships. It's still there. Not as bad. It's getting better. But I also think it's important that women got to be careful not to be forced into losing that femininity that they have.
We've come so far as women, but we've still got a ways to go. It's one thing to implement, you know, things like outlawing discrimination and implementing pay parity in the workplace and things like that, but to actually have everyone believe that women are equals, that would be the goal. I'm a mother.
What makes you the happiest about how far women have come in the last 50 years?
My granddaughters, they're free. They're free to choose. They're free to make their own decisions. And they're free to just to be themselves, to be who they want to be.
Wow. Maureen.
Isn't she a sweetheart?
You're tearing up.
I
You're
am.
Crying.
Well, it's so nice to hear her say that because knowing when she grew up, she had to have a travel companion. Her mum had to ask to be able to have a part-time job. Like, you know, the difference to women back then to compared to now where she's like, my grandkids are free. Like, isn't that just beautiful?
And what I hear there too, like the changes in, you know, your mum's time compared to your time, like they're very, very obvious. But what I hear in your mother's voice is a woman who is
so happy with the change,
the changes that have occurred in her lifetime for her three beautiful daughters. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I hear an optimism
totally.
In her voice and your voice that, you know, things have gotten so much better and they're only going to continue to get better.
I love my mum. Happy International Women's Day.
Gretel Galeen is an Aussie comedian, media personality and author.
This is Big Brother.
But she'll always be known to us as the OG host of Big Brother.
Where it's time to get the inside goss on how the housemates think.
Every year, the house, housemates, and the game in general changed. But right through the noughties, one thing stayed the same. Gretel Killeen.
Here's your host, Gretel Killeen.
And she joins Cliffo and Gabby for Memory Monday right now.
Gretel Killeen, thank you for joining Hit Queensland Breakfast. It's so good to have you on.
Oh, what a joy to be chatting with you.
I know you got a book out because I saw it on the shelves at Big W the other day, and we are going to get to that very, very soon because weddings are a big theme in it. And
it's a big theme on the show at the moment.
Gabby talks about because she's getting married.
Oh, Gabby, you must read my book 800 times.
I shall. Well, before we get to the book, let's just have a little chat about Big Brother because that's how we all got to know Gretel for our generation. Like, we love you from growing up with you on Big Brother. What are some of the memories you have from hosting back when it was live?
Well, I think rather than a memory, one of the things that's amazing to me is that it was live because people don't do that anymore.
I know, right?
And I think that's what made it so totally fabulous, that you never knew what was going to happen. And I think in life, we really like watching that wild ride and seeing how people are going to cope. So that's the thing that I think of, the live. I miss that. You know, I think it would be good for our society to see people coping with real life like that.
Mm. Speaking of live, I mean, you were behind, I think, one of the most fascinating or, I don't know, interesting live television moments from my memory. I'm going to play a little bit back, but this is back when Merlin wouldn't answer any questions. He had tape across his mouth and a sign that said, "Free the refugees."
Merlin, are you going to speak? Everybody sit down and be quiet. Merlin, can I ask you a simple mathematical question? This segment is 5 minutes long.
You handled that like an absolute master, Gretel. Tell us what was going through your mind when that moment was actually happening live with, you know, millions of viewers.
Well, a lot of things were going through my mind. I really respect Merlin for his political stand. I think that was really important. But also, what you don't know in listening to that is that I had maybe four or six voices in my ear who were all in the control room telling me what to do, and then we had the thousands in front. I really respect Merlin for what he did, and then I had responsibilities to sponsors and the show. So, yeah, it was insane. What was going through my mind? I think in my mind I felt I knew how to deal with it if I was given the space. Given privacy, I would have hugged Merlin and been able to have a chat, but, you know, it was the biggest thing on television at that time. You know, it was massive. So thanks for reminding me of that intensely emotional experience.
It was very intense, even for us viewers. With Big Brother not being live anymore, do you watch it now with the reboot and compare it to what it used to be?
No, I'm in a different chapter of my life now. So I wish everybody all the best with it, of course, but I'm in a different chapter. You know, I'm really enjoying where I'm at. I've spent years doing live performing. I've always been a writer, as you know. Like, I've written 30 books. And I paint as well, and I have fabulous adventures. So for me, doing live television like that, it was a great chapter that leads to the next things.
Let's move on from it then. Let's talk about your next chapter. And, well, chapters are actually what you are working on, because you do have a novel out, a work of fiction. Like I said, I saw it on the shelves at Big W. You know you've made it when the mainstreams are throwing you up there on the shelves front and centre. but tell us about the new novel, because it sounds like the theme really interesting.
You guys are so fabulous. Thank you. So it's about mother-daughter love, because it is such a confoundingly deep, competitive, compassionate, adversarial, best friends, arch enemies. Such an extraordinary relationship. And then, of course, a wedding, as you know, is a full-on hot pot and a great way to explore the intensity of emotions. Yeah. I imagine you know that.
Yes. Well, I wanted to ask you about that, Gretel, because I'm currently walking on eggshells with my mum at the moment, because in her generation, the parents organised the wedding for the daughter, and now it's not like that. And so we're kind of figuring out how much involvement there actually will be, and, you know, kind of trying to tread those waters between what is old and what is new. Did you experience any of that? Does any of that happen in the book?
My daughter, if I had poked my nose in, my head would have been chopped off.
It's
her special day, but I think sometimes if people feel they're contributing financially to the cost, that they feel that gives them a right. For some people, it's the day that their daughter gets married is also, they've been looking to that forward to that day as well. So it's just, I think it's a sit-down conversation with your mum, because she means well. You know, it's just that you're emotional and she is. And if you want us to have a Zoom, you, me and your mum, I'm really happy to navigate it with you.
I'm going to take you up on that.
Well, okay, right.
And we're all going to can mediate between mum and I.
I've got to bring Gretel into the conversation. Well, Gretel, we do love you. Your book, like we said, it's out now. It's called My Daughter's Wedding, so buy that. And thank you for going back in time and talking a bit of Big Brother this morning with us, the original host of the show, Gretel Colleen. Big love.
Thanks, guys.
Alpha Bucks. Alpha Bucks is back in the morning after 8, and Tuesday's letter is
Spider-Man does whatever a Spider-Man can.
Does whatever a spider can.
Sure.
Spider-Man does whatever a Spider-Man can. That was the stupidest song ever.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Does whatever a spider can. S is the letter for Alpha Bucks. Win the $1,000 cash in the morning at here.
I had a bit of a realisation over the weekend, Cliffo, that I have large boobs. Obviously, I knew this already. Obviously, it's not a secret. I have to go bra shopping, and I know what size I am, so it's not like I thought they were small.
There has been times before, like awkward times in our friendship, when, I don't know, you've given me eyes like I'm looking at your boobs. Like you've given me those. Yeah, that's happened before.
Have I?
More than once.
Have you been?
Well, yes.
They're big. They're out
but
there.
But what I was going to say was, though, sometimes just looking in your general direction,
you can't miss them.
They're there.
Well, it was really made obvious, though, because I had a bra that was stabbing me under the arm. And I was like, what is happening? And I was really uncomfortable. So I reached on in, and it turned out the wire had popped out from the bra cup. And men, you wouldn't understand, but if a wire is popping out and jabbing you, it is very painful. So
it was only about 2 years ago that I learned
there was wires in bras. You've got to have structural integrity to hold those bad boys up.
And I only saw it because I saw one of my wife's old ones.
Yes. Well, the only way to fix it is, you know, to whip the wire out. If you're not at home, if you're not able to get the sewing kit out. So I just whipped the wire out. And when I did so, Nev looked over at me and he's like, what are you holding? And I'm like, oh, it's just the wire from my bra. And he's like, oh, I thought it was a headband. And I was like, what? And so we've done some different size comparisons, and it fits over his head like a headband with extra room. It fits wow. over my entire dog with extra room, and it could almost fit around your waist like a belt. So that, my friend, is how I found out over the weekend that I have large breasts.
You know who I feel sorry for? Your back muscles. I've never done hard drugs before, but my God, that first sip of coffee in the morning.
Woo, got to go.
It's just bliss. It's like it runs from the tip of your toes to the top of your head to your fingertips. I don't know. That first
it's like an energy.
Sweet, sweet, sweet sip of coffee every morning gets me. On Saturday, though, that first coffee sip for me wasn't as sweet as it normally is. And I don't know why. Well, I know now, but at the time, I didn't know why my coffee just didn't taste right. Mm. It was in my favourite John Lennon mug. We've talked about that on the show before. My Imagine mug.
Yep.
I was standing on the front lawn because I did all the lawn work on
Friday. You've got everything in place.
Mate.
You're standing there like a proud...
How suburban dad am I,
a proud grass-born owner.
Boxer shorts on and a singlet, my morning coffee.
Was
and
one I'm hand on the hip?
Hand on the hip. And I'm looking over the freshly mowed grass.
Yeah, I
living
can
my suburban
it.
Dream. And I drank the whole coffee. And I don't know. The whole time, like I said, something wasn't quite right. And I don't know. I just put it down to it's instant coffee.
Maybe the milk is like a day before.
Who
off.
Knows? Yeah. But I drank the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then it only came around, maybe an hour later, I'll have, because I have two cups of coffee each morning. I go to put the kettle on, not enough water. Open it up, and that's when I discovered a dead boiled up cockroach in the bottom of the kettle.
This is why you get one of those glass see-through kettles, my friend.
That and this is why
is gross.
You keep the little filter thing. You know, you get the...
Oh, yeah, with the spout.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's there.
What do you call that? This little filter
a
thing.
A sieve.
Yeah, righto.
Sure.
We'll go with that. Colander. It's a coffee colander.
It is a cockroach keeper outer, is what it is.
I think ours broke or something. For some reason, it's not in there. And, yeah, anyway, long story short, obviously, cockroaches.
Cockroach.
You know what?
You drank brewed cockroach.
I Googled this morning.
You drank the juice of the cockroach.
Let me bring it up on my phone. Cockroaches are highly nutritional.
No.
They are rich in protein, healthy fats, iron and calcium, and they are low in carbohydrates.
No.
So all the good stuff.
That is a solid no.
131060, let's take calls on it. Have you accidentally eaten an insect? Because it is becoming a bit of a trend now, isn't it?
Well, you purposely do it.
Yeah, cook up crickets or something.
I've purposely eaten mealworms and crickets, but that's a whole other thing. That was just
like
a dare.
Like a slug, off a log camping once, which was a dare.
But we're not talking about that because that's when you've mentally prepared yourself for it. It's when you accidentally eat it that it really gets you.
Think you're on a motorbike, I don't know, driving down the highway. Something flies into your mouth.
Or that kid that was on the news and put his tongue out and caught a fly, do you remember? And then he ate it.
The kid who put his tongue out and got the fly.
That was weird.
That was some Mr. Miyagi shit, wasn't it? 131060, give us a call. So I accidentally had cockroach coffee on the weekend, but 131060, have you accidentally eaten an insect? Nick, have you accidentally eaten bugs, mate?
Well, it wasn't really an accident. When I was younger, we had some family friends over and he talked us into cooking some bugs on the barbecue.
Just bugs you found in the garden?
Pretty much.
Okay.
And he said, oh, they're really delicious, so we're cooking them up and eating them. And we thought he was eating them as well, but it was a couple of years later. He's like, oh, no, I was grabbing bits of onion off the barbecue. I wouldn't eat the bugs.
So he convinced you to eat them and he wasn't even getting on board.
Yep.
Oh, just trick in the book. Make him think I'm eating bugs, so they do it.
I can imagine.
Eating onion.
I would have done that as a kid for sure.
You do it as an adult.
Yeah, you're right.
Rebecca, what happened to you?
Hey, guys. So I actually found a cockroach inside a Jura coffee machine water tank.
So like one of the pod machines?
The actual one where it's actually you pour water in, it's like its own separate container to the machine. So I actually started to live with someone, another family member, because we had our own machine, which I could just lift out and I empty it out and, you know, clean it when I needed to. But one day, I decided to clean out his coffee machine. And while I was cleaning it out, emptied it out, a massive cockroach just came out. I was just like, yeah.
Cockroach coffee.
It would have been all weird. It's the new delicacy. And dead and, mate, don't laugh.
Going as a rapper's later. Can I have a cockroach coffee, please?
Gwyneth Paltrow soon. She'll be selling cockroach coffee or grind it up. Kaylee on 131060. What happened to you, Kaylee?
Hey, guys. I've eaten maggots.
Oh, yuck.
How did that happen?
They're kind of just they're the worst of the bugs, aren't they?
Yes.
What happened there?
I was about 1 year old. I don't remember it, but apparently my four-year-old cousin was feeding me out of a baby tin out of the bin.
Oh.
And my mum come downstairs to check on us, and I had a mouthful of maggots. Needless to say, the hose was pulled out pretty quick.
Kaylee, maggots are on this list as well, too.
Full of
protein.
I can't even look at a maggot now without feeling like I'm going to dry reach.
Fats, iron, calcium, low on carbohydrates and high in antioxidants, mate. You got to thank those maggots. We're being encouraged. It's a holiday here this year. Mm-hmm. Hamish Blake's all over the telly telling us to do that. And yesterday, Anastasia Palaszczuk, our state's premier, announced that it's going to be a bit easier, particularly if you want to check out Cairns and FNQ. So as of today, 15,000 travel vouchers worth up to $200 are up for grabs.
Yes.
Now, I sort of heard this yesterday and I thought, sweet. They're
slinging, free $200.
Slinging 200 to spend on, you know, accommodation and tourism stuff here, there and everywhere. We've done some digging because it's actually kind of confusing and turns out it's not as simple as just slinging $200, like four pineapples your way.
No.
Number one, you can't use it on accommodation. It is for
experiences.
Queensland, FNQ experiences in and around Cairns. All Queenslanders are welcome to apply from midday today, but don't think you're going to be paying for a night's accommodation with it. It is for experiences. The other thing that had us a bit confused was they're paying for 50% of the experience or up to the value of $200.
Yes. Now, so that's we actually had to sit down and talk about this for a good 15 minutes to figure out what that meant because we were like, what?
And we, look, we're not the smartest six-pack in the carton, but
we wanted to break it down for you, yeah.
Okay, so to break it down, so again, the vouchers that they're slinging from midday today, you can go to queensland.com and apply for one. They are a 50% discount, a half-price discount on eligible tourism attractions up to the value of $200. So say you get here's an example. This is a real one. You can buy yourself a Passions of Paradise introductory dive for one person. That costs $70 in Cairns, right? Now you might think, oh, cool, $70, it's under 200, pays for the whole thing.
No.
No, pays for half of it.
50%.
50%. So you'll get $35 off that. But at the other end of the scale, if you get yourself a scenic helicopter flight over Cairns for two people, that costs you $800. You're not going to get 400, which is the 50%. You get up to the value of
200.
200.
So it's either 50% or 200, whichever is less. So that's what you'll get back. And they are actually announcing tomorrow the businesses that are eligible for these discounts. So the experiences you can buy to get the discount on them. But highly recommend you apply for one of those $15,200 possibility vouchers.
Not, hold on, you've done it again.
Up to $200 vouchers.
It sounded like a $15,200 voucher. It's hard. Get it all at queensland.com. Yeah. And if you're struggling to work it out, do what Gabby and I did this morning. Take your shoes and socks off so you've got 10 fingers and 10 toes to count with.
That's what you need.
You'll get there. You'll work it out.
Clippo and Gabby's podcast is the complete package. Brand new Mazda BT50. It's the only ute that's the complete package.